But if you notice on the screen, we're doing a series on the hill, these sermons on the hill. So these are just where God is leading us and speaking to different ones of us on staff this morning. And so what I want to do is kind of bring this summer series to a close, kind of prepare our heart for next Sunday as we launch into our new series about being anchored. So what I want to do this morning is I want us to look in God's Word, and I want you to answer a question, and I want you to think about, how is my HQ? You ask that to yourself. What is the condition of my hope quotient? We know about IQ, intelligence quotient. Maybe you know about EQ, your emotional intelligence quotient. But what about your HQ, your hope quotient? Because it is absolutely critical. One of the things I begin to realize is that I know that I am where I am today because of the level of my hope quotient. Because it is absolutely critical, if I want God's blessings in my life, my hope quotient has got to be healthy. And what I'm simply telling you is, there are a lot of God's people who are not getting everything that the Father would give them. And you know, we're not name it, claim it here. But there are things that God wants to do that God will not do if you don't believe Him and trust Him. Jesus said in the Scripture, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Isn't that true? Didn't he say that? You know what he was saying? You get to determine to a great extent what I do in your life. According to your what? Faith, be it done unto you. What do you believe God wants to do? What do you honestly believe God is speaking to your heart? So we're going to talk about hope quotient, because this is all about how we get through whatever we're going through. And if you're like me, you can go through some real challenging times on this planet. Would you agree with that? I mean, there can be some times where it's just dark. You can't hardly see your hands in front of your face emotionally and spiritually because you're going through some dark, dark times. I want you to understand that's not uncommon for anybody because we live in a messed up world. And so the key to this of getting God's help is our hope quotient. That's how I get through what I'm going through from time to time, and that's how you can do the very same thing. Now, for this, I want us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm going to begin in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, the God who comforts us in all our troubles. Did you know if you're in trouble, God is seeking to comfort you? You say, well, I haven't felt anything. Well, that's not His fault. God says, I want to comfort you. I am the God of all comfort. So if you're not getting comfort in the midst of a difficult time in your life, whose fault is it? Because He is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. It didn't say some. It didn't say a few. It said how many of our troubles? This is where you respond. How many? All of our troubles with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, that's a reality, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. In other words, he said, as apostles, we go through so much so that we can be used by God to minister to you. Of course, through writing Holy Scripture and through teaching. So they're going through a lot of things so that they can teach us and put it down in Holy Scripture. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer, because we're going to go through a lot of the mess that they go through. And our hope for you is firm because we know. That's a very important passage right there. Or if you want to underline that. For our hope for you is firm because we know. That's the key right there. That just as you share in our suffering, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. Now listen, this is the Apostle Paul. He's going to talk about a hard time he went through. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. Don't we sometimes feel that? That this is more than I can handle. Well, you're not alone when you experience that. Paul said, I went through the same thing. Far beyond my ability to endure. That's how I felt. So that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. And I was like, we're going to die. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. So I want us to talk about how is your hope quotient. Let me tell you why this is important. It is important because every one of us, myself included, all of us go through tough times. Whether we talk to other people about it or not, maybe you're just a silent sufferer. I know you go through tough times. And some of you may be there this morning, which is what I'm trusting, why God put this on my heart. But whatever you and I are dealing with at present, regardless of how difficult it may be, maybe it is the most difficult challenge you feel like in your life to this present time. Like you'll be saying, I have never gone through this before. I don't know that I've had a more dark time than I'm going through right now. Maybe that's what you're saying to yourself. Well, the answer to making it through any difficulty, any disappointment or loss, according to Scripture, is a four-letter word, hope. It is hope. How do you get through? You have hope. Somebody wrote this, and I've read it so many times, and I just want to repeat it again. Lock him in a prison, beat him, shipwreck him, and you have the Apostle Paul. Deafen him, and you have Ludwig von Beethoven. Raise him in abject poverty, you have an Abraham Lincoln. Strike him down with infantile paralysis, and he becomes a Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Call him a slow learner, label him retarded, and write him off as uneducable, and you've got Albert Einstein. Now, what is the thing that it was a common denominator in the lives of all of these high achievers in life? Well, I'm going to tell you what it is. You ready for it? This is insight in your outline. Get out your life point outline if you haven't already done that. Your HQ, or your hope intelligence quotient, is more valuable to your future than your IQ. This is what makes a difference with people. There are a lot of smart people that aren't doing very well in this world. Would you agree with that? But they're a lot smarter than you. And the difference is there are tons of very smart people who don't do well in life because they don't have a clue about how to relate to people. They have a high IQ, but they lack emotional intelligence. They don't know how to relate to other people. And emotional intelligence is very important for a productive life with other people. But even more important than my emotional quotient is my hope quotient. That is the big thing, is what is your hope level? So here's a question. Why are some people more effective and enjoy life more than other people? That's a question to ask. Why do some people soar while other people sink? Why do some students in school do so much better than others? Why do some people thrive emotionally and seem happier and more fulfilled? Let me give you the answer, and it's a truth in your outline. Thriving people thrive for one reason. It's hope. They thrive because there's hope. You look back at verse 7 in our text. Paul says, our hope is firm because we know. And here's the insight I want you to see in your outline. It's what you and I know. It's what I know that gets me through the inevitable tough times of life. That's what gets me through. It's what I know. The reality is, if I don't know what is truth, if you and I don't know the right things when tough times come and the storms of life hit us hard, do you know what's going to happen? We'll crater. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of good people, a lot smarter than you or me, who have failed in life because they cratered. And they cratered because they could not make it through some tough times they went through. And what I'm telling you is, it can happen to you and it can happen to me. Getting down and getting discouraged can be disastrous to your life. It can absolutely destroy you. Don't fool with disappointment. It is a snake that will kill you. And it's something that you need to handle. Just like each of you, my family and I go through storms. Sometimes I think, well, I'll never go through that again. No, I go through something worse. You go through storms, you go through these tsunamis, these droughts, these floods of life that hit you. Those experiences that are just like those weather-type situations. And sometimes they last a lot longer than we would want. There are times in life where it just seems overwhelming. There's no explanation. Doesn't matter how much you pray, there is no answer. There is no insight. And here's what I have seen. If God is going to change me, now I want you to listen carefully, because I have just dug this out of rock. If God is going to grow me, if I'm going to develop spiritually or I'm going to develop personally, something in my life has to change. If I keep doing everything I'm doing right now, I will stay the same. Does that make sense? All right. If I want to improve, something has to change. Now, here's the next step. Every change causes me to feel like I've lost something that I was accustomed to. That's why I did it. It was my way of life. And whenever it changes, I have a feeling of loss. And every time I lose something, something that had been a part of my life, that gives me pain. And pain causes me grief. That's why a lot of us have been going around depressed and downcast. It is because the God of heaven has been seeking to bring about change in our life. But the only way he can change us is by causing something in our life to be taken away from us. And therefore, we feel a level of pain and we go through grief. And here's what I want you to understand. Without hope, grief from change can overwhelm you emotionally and spiritually, and it can sideline you for weeks and months and even years. And I think there are people maybe in our fellowship that we can't depend on you, nobody can depend on you, because you're stuck with change that God's been seeking to bring you through. And you've lost sight of the need for hope. So I want to raise your hope level this morning. I only got 2 points. Aren't you glad? We'll say, oh, that doesn't mean necessarily it's going to be shorter. So what are the 2 points? All right, number one, God with me is my peace. When I'm going through a difficult time, when I'm going through loss, when I'm going through something that's really hard for me, my only comfort is that God is with me. One of the things that is true for all of us is that life is full of questions that have no answers. I would say this morning, there are some of you here that you've said, God, why? And you hadn't heard anything yet. Can I get an amen? The rest of you just sitting there, you know it's true. Huh? It's true. Why is this happening to me? Why now? Why did my husband leave me? Why did my wife leave me? Why did them die of cancer? Why did they die so young? Why did I lose my job? Why wasn't I promoted? Why was my baby born this way? Let me give you a truth in your outline. Most questions of our lives will never be answered down here. I have the gift of encouragement. But you know what? Even though you may not like that answer, it helps, doesn't it? And you're like, oh, okay. There are a lot of questions that we have that are never going to get answered. So much in life doesn't make sense. Would you agree with that? Bad people prosper. Just chaps me. Because they fund ungodly things. Like, God, seriously? You don't even have all this money. They're not using it for you. But that's the reality. Bad people prosper. Good people suffer. You know, these last 3 weeks that I've been off, I'm telling you the truth. I've been on a search. Because of some things that just I'm going through and God is doing in my life. And so all through my vacation time, one of my prayers had been, God, I just need fresh insight. I need to understand some things about going through difficulties and about some stuff in my life that I don't understand. One of the things in a lot of my reading, I came across an article by Pastor Rick Warren. And I don't know if you know, but he and his wife, Kay, of course, he pastors Saddleback Church in Southern California. And Pastor Rick and his wife, Kay, shared some things that they learned when they went through a very difficult time that some of us know nothing about. I don't know if you heard it or not, but Rick and his wife, Kay, lost a son. Their young son was born with a severe mental illness. And he wrestled with progressive depression. They went to all kinds of doctors. They searched everything. And they could not, nothing helped. Rick said, he said, for 20 years, I prayed and asked God to heal my son. And it never happened. And the day came when they never heard from him. And he always called early in the morning. And Rick and Kay feared, this fear crept in. Because they felt like they knew what had happened. Because he had threatened it so many times. And sure enough, on this particular morning, his house was locked. So they had to wait for the police to come in order to get in. And they found their son, Matthew, had taken his own life. Rick said he went through a very, very difficult time, which you can imagine. He said, but there were six things that he learned. He said, I learned six specific stages of wrestling with things that you don't understand. And I think they're so good. Let me just share them with you. I give them to you in your notes. Because they actually represent what I go through and what you go through when we're going through things we don't understand. First of all is shock. All right? The first thing you have is shock. Shock comes when all of a sudden we find ourselves, maybe we've gone through a sudden loss. Maybe there is a life change that comes into our life. We can't change that, and it shocks us because maybe it's a health issue, or there's a sudden death, or there's a loss of a job, and shock can last an undetermined length of time. It totally depends on you and me. Sometimes it can be a few days, it can be a couple of weeks, it can be a month, it can be longer than that. But shock sets in where you just it's just like you're just kind of knocked off your feet. Then number two is sorrow. Shock is followed by sorrow. And shock, I want you to understand, is a human emotion. Sorrow is a godly emotion. In other words, when you read Holy Scripture, God is never shocked. You notice that? Now, why is God not shocked? Because God knows everything. God knows the end from the beginning, right? He always knows that. And so the Father is never shocked. He knows the past, the present, and the future. He's never surprised. So shock is a human emotion, but sorrow or grief is a godly emotion. God emotes sorrow and grief. My Father understands grief. Jesus understands grief. The Bible says God was grieved in Genesis chapter 6 because he had made men. Why? Because of their sin. Their sin grieved God. Jesus wept at Lazarus' tomb. Why? Because of the effect of sin. It was a grief to him. Jesus was a man, the Bible says, of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That is a godly thing. And here's the insight in your outline. Grief is good because it's the journey out of loss. And if God had grief, then grief is a good thing. And when I begin to grieve what has happened, that's my journey out of what it is that I have lost, because it should bring me to step number three, which is struggle. I move into struggle when I come out of sorrow. And how do I know that I'm in the area of struggle? I'm asking why. Why me? Why now? When will this end? And what the reality is, we're not going to get answers to why. But it's okay to ask. In fact, even the Lord Jesus, didn't he pray in Scripture and say, my God, what? Why have you forsaken me? So it's not wrong to ask that. It's not wrong for us to ask why. But here's the truth I want you to understand. Look at the truth in your outline. The test of our faith is when no answer comes because we're not going to get an answer. And here's what I wrote down in my notes. This thought just came to me. It is in your struggle, your faith, my faith, your faith, shows itself or not. Because the test of my faith, when I'm not getting, listen, think, I want you to think about your struggle. I want you to think about the thing that shocked you, the thing that's hurt you. And you are not getting an answer. You've not understood why. Because God is not answering. Here's your test. What are you going to do because there's no answer? And many of you may be stuck right here. You're stuck with this thing of struggling. And you haven't moved. And I want to encourage you this morning. This whole message is about you moving forward. How do you do that? Because the next step is surrender. This is the sign of my faith. This is the sign of your faith. I don't understand. There's no explanation. I can't understand why I am where I am or what I'm going through. Listen, what God wants is he wants to bring me to surrender. This is where I stop struggling and I find peace. Maybe it's a health issue that's not going to change. Maybe it's a relationship that I'm lost that I'm never going to get again. Maybe it's the death of someone. But I stop struggling and I enter peace when I surrender and I stop asking and I just submit myself and I accept. I submit myself to the Father. Here's the truth in your outline. Surrender is the only path to peace in the midst of loss. And surrender is when I say to the Father, this is when I pray, Father, I do not understand what is happening in my life, but I believe you are faithful. I cannot see anything. I cannot sense you. I cannot feel you because God may hide himself. It's a test. And we say, Father, I lay my life in your hands and I trust you. Even when there's no answer. Why do I do that? Because when I go to the Scripture, that is the testimony of Job. That is the testimony of Daniel. It is the testimony of David. It is the testimony of Abraham. You see, my peace is not in what I know. It's in who I know. Amen. It's who I know. And once I surrender, Father, I surrender. I don't have to have an answer. I don't have to understand why. But the change in my health, the change in my family situation, the death of a loved one, the desertion of a spouse, some whatever life-altering thing has happened in your family, when you just surrender and say, Father, I'm going to trust you. You know what you're doing. Your eye is on me. You have not left me. I know that there is something good is going to happen in all of this. Then that brings me then to the fifth place, and that is the place of sanctification. That is when God can start doing his work, when God can do what only God can do. And you know what that is? God is the only one who can bring good out of something that is bad. Nobody else can do that. Everybody else brings good out of good. God brings brings good out of bad. And he's the only one that's able to do that. And when I surrender to my Father, he begins the work of transforming me. I don't become bitter, I become better. I don't become meaner, I become sweeter. I don't become more belligerent, I become more gentle. Why? Because I am at peace. I don't understand what's happening in my life. But I know there is a God who loves me. And when I surrender to that, it brings me to step number 6, which is service. Because I want you to understand something. God's plan in my life is the same plan He has in your life. Do you know what that is? God's plan is to take the greatest struggle you're going through, your greatest pain, your greatest loss, and He wants to turn it into your life message. Here's the truth in your outline. God wants to use our mess for a message to a lost and dying world. That's what He wants to use. That's how He brings good out of something that's bad. God wants to take my greatest embarrassment, your greatest regret, your greatest shame, and He wants to use it for the good in the lives of other people. God wants to use our present life test for a testimony. Who better to help an addict than somebody who struggled with an addiction? Who better to help parents with a disabled child than somebody who has a disabled child? The very thing that you and I want to talk the least about, the very thing that we hate the most in our life, is the very thing that God wants to use most in our life to help other people who are right where you are and they don't understand why. But you and I do. Because we live in a world that doesn't make sense. But we've got a God who never leaves us nor forsakes us. And a God who is able to bring good out of bad. So let me land the plane. Number two. No matter what stage that you're in, you are not in it by yourself. It is dark and you cannot see anything, but you hear me. As a child of God, you are not in it by yourself. Your Father is with you. And here's the truth. Here's point number two. This world is broken, but God is good and God has a plan. Do you realize everything on this planet is broken? Huh? And here's the truth in your outline. God made earth and life perfect, but sin broke all of it. All right? I just want to remind you of that. And you need to remember that. There is no such thing as a perfect marriage. Can I get a testimony? Amen. Don't say it real loud, because that would probably cause you problems today. You say, well, I've kind of found that out. Yeah. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage. There is no perfect church. We're not one. Never have been, never pushed to be or come off that we are. And there is no perfect plan. And I want you to understand something. There's no such thing as a perfect body. So when your body starts to change and stuff starts going south on you, I want you to understand it's because there's no perfect body out there. Amen. And the reality is this. All of us are mentally ill. You say, well, that explains a lot. I did not say you're crazy. I did not say that. I said we are not insane, but we are ill. I'm ill. You are. Isn't it true? You can't control your thoughts. Have you found that out? You can't. All kinds of stuff comes through your mind. Crazy, stupid stuff. You're like, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with you is you're broken. I'm broken. All of us are broken. We have compulsions. She's like, ugh, you want to stop it, but you can't. You know why? You're broke. You've got compulsions that you cannot stop. You've got thoughts that you cannot stop. You've got desires. You've got fears that come into you. Isaiah 24 is a perfect explanation. Listen to verse 5 and verse 19. The earth suffers. Why? Because everything's broken. For the sins of the people, for they have twisted the instructions of God, violated His laws, broken His covenant. Therefore, the earth, listen, has broken down and has utterly collapsed. Does that not sound like today? Everything is lost. People are lost. situations. It can be a horrible situation. Everything is abandoned and confused. Let me tell you something. The only way you can explain the United States of America in juxtaposition to all the other countries on the earth is the fact that America was founded searching for God instead of for gold. And we are forgetting that. As a people, we're forgetting that. That's the only way you can explain America and the country that she is today around the world. And our nation, because we are turning from Him, we are becoming confused about sex. We are confused about life. We are confused about marriage. It's absolutely ludicrous. And all the confusion is because of sin and because of evil. And I know people will say, why doesn't God stop it? It's a good question. Why doesn't God stop all this craziness? It is because God allows you and me free choice. You and I can choose to love God or to go our own way. And the only way God could eliminate evil and sin in this world is to get rid of all of us. You and I make choices that hurt and that are wrong. You and I hurt people. Sometimes we do it unintentionally. It happened. You know why? Because we're broke. Sometimes we do it intentionally. Why? Because we're broke. And here's the truth in your outline. Joy in a broken world comes in knowing that God is good and has a purpose and a plan. See, that's what gives me hope. Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. And that is only for those who love God. Listen, if you don't love God, if you don't belong to Him, everything in life's not working for your good. That is only for those who love God. If you love Him, listen, everything that happens in your life, God is going to use it and work it for good, even the bad. And do you understand not everything that happens in your life and my life is God's will? You understand that? I did not say God's not sovereign. God is sovereign. There are things God will not permit. But there's a lot of stuff goes on in this world. It's not the will of God. Rape is not God's will. Would you agree with that? Murder is not God's will. Cancer is not God's will. God's will is not disease. Disease is a consequence of sin. The only place God's will is done is in heaven. That's why Jesus said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done." Where? On earth as it is in heaven. The only place God's will is done all the time is in heaven. It's not always done down here. But God said, if you walk with me, I will bring good to you out of what you're going through. Huh? He's not left us. He's not left you. But I live and you live in a broken world. Your body's broken. Some of you have screwy thinking. You're not thinking right. You're not. And Satan's using it. And you've got questions that don't have answers. So what are you going to do? God says, I want you to come to me. This morning, you got three choices. It's in your outline. You can give up on God. Say, well, you know, He didn't come through. But I'll tell you something. If you really belong to Him, you're not going to be able to stay there because it won't satisfy. It'll drive you nuts because you just know that you know that's not true. But maybe you'll think because you're mad, you just think, you know, God just forsook me. God didn't come through. I don't understand why, but God's just not here. He's not in my life. And that is such a lie. He's there. He sees everything. Or number two, you can blame yourself. I'm in the mess I'm in because of me. But thing is, you're broken. And I'm broken. So what are we going to do? Well, number three, you can embrace mystery. Knowing that one day, Father, I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through. But one day, I'm going to be able to see how you used everything in my life for good. And I don't know what good this is going to do, but I'm going to trust you. So here's what I want to ask you this morning. I want to ask you if you will say this morning, Father, I want to trust you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to surrender, and I'm going to believe you're going to take care of me. You're here. You haven't left me. You're with me, even though I'm in the dark right now. Stacy's going to come. We're going to have some music right now, and I want us all to stand. Would you stand to your feet? Bow your heads for just a moment.